It's the Quizzo Cast, a behind-the-scenes look at the questions, writers, hosts, and players of Michigan's top pub trivia community. Here are your hosts, John Gay and Tom Whitaker.
Welcome into episode number 5 of the Quizzo Cast. Tom, we are talking about beer tonight.
Talking beer. I feel like I'm talking beer every week, but...
We're going to focus on some breweries and some beer and everything beer-related to Quizzo because...
A former Quizzo legend, if you will.
Who has his own beer podcast, going to join us shortly. We're going to start off with our first guest tonight. We have two breweries that Quizzo is at. We have Ray Sherwood from Sherwood Brewing, longtime Quizzo clients. I want to thank you for your patronage. And Bo is here from Fillmore 13 in Pontiac, a new Quizzo client. Welcome to you as well.
Thank you very much.
Greetings.
Greetings. So we're going to start with, Ray. You've been with us a long time, so we'll get to know you as time goes on, Bo. Ray, tell us about Quizzo. How long have you guys had it? What led you to us, and how's it going?
We've had it, I would guess, maybe 8 years, maybe even longer, maybe closer to 10.
That's almost the entire existence of the company. So,
well, I had some friends that were playing it down at the Engine House.
Okay.
And they mentioned one time that, like, hey, you ever consider doing Quizzo at the brewery? And we didn't know that it would be a good fit at first, you know, so we kind of went back and forth about whether we'd do it, and then we decided to give it a shot. We were non-smoking at that point, and before the law got passed.
Oh, so a little ahead of the curve.
Yeah, so it was a little bit of a weird thing without mixed drinks and without people just sitting there and smoking the whole time. But we decided to give it a chance and took off pretty quickly. Got a pretty good following with it. And then over the years, you know, one of those things where we probably average 10 teams. And, you know, this time of the year, like this week, it might be 15 or 20. And then we get towards Christmas when people have time off work. We get around 15 to 20 teams regular.
And Ray, what nights do you have Quizzo over there in Shelby Township?
Tuesdays.
Tuesday nights.
Yep, 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock on Tuesday nights.
Yep.
Trivia Tuesday. It works.
And Bo, you're recently with us, right? You just signed up with Quizzo?
That's right. I think we've done it 4 times, maybe 5 now.
Okay. Folks liking it up in Pontiac?
I've gotten a lot of texts and phone calls from random friends that have come in for it, typically gone by the time it gets started. But I keep promising everybody that I'm going to hang out and maybe join a team.
You're going to have to. You got to jump in.
Yeah.
They could listen, every once in a while, the craft beer category comes up and they could use you as the head brewer.
That's the one I might be able to help them with.
Guys, I'm here. actually, Fillmore 13, I filled in for Brian out there. I was a guest host. It was a torrential downpour out there. Getting my equipment in wasn't a peach, but once I got in there, it was actually my first time, so it's a really nice spot out there in Pontiac. It was pretty good. We had a few kind of teams like crept in. Like we heard there might be trivia, a lot of like girlfriend, boyfriend. But there was this guy, his name was Tom, great name, but it was his birthday that night. They all stayed and played, and my man Tom ate it up. He was loving it. So I wouldn't be surprised if they drop back in.
You know, that's the idea is we want people to come in, feel comfortable, have fun, and stick around for more than one beer.
What nights do you have Quizzo, Bo?
It is Tuesdays. I think it starts at 7 o'clock on Tuesdays.
All right, so we got
all the Dukes are up.
We've got Shelby Township and Pontiac,
right? Yeah. So they can maybe do ours, and then
I've had teams do that. I've had teams like
you've had the double dip.
I've had the double dip where I start an hour earlier than another bar, and they play the first hour, and they try to leave and go to the other bar because they've heard all the answers to the first 3 rounds. So now I've got to text the other host and say, hey, by the way, these guys are coming. They're trying to put one over on you. Don't do that. So
that's madness.
You should know that the hosts all talk to each other. So if there's a question about whether or not to accept an answer, if somebody's trying to be shady, we're on top of it.
Right.
Staying
when you try to run the first 3 categories in 5 minutes.
just
so
real
get there
quick.
And they're like, oh, round 4. Damn.
Yeah, exactly.
Then you get somebody, listen, we're this deep into the game. How are you going to leave now?
Exactly. You opened fairly recently, right, Bo?
Yeah, it's a little bit over a year and a half ago. March will be our 2-year anniversary, and that's coming up, and it's unreal. I mean, time has just absolutely flown by.
Are there any other breweries, you don't want to ask you to name them, but I feel like Pontiac is not an area where you have a lot of direct competition in that regard.
Sure, no, we do have one right next door, and I don't mind mentioning their name. They're great guys, but Experimentation is directly next to us. In fact, one of the first Facebook Live videos I saw after we had opened was a guy cashing out at my bar and taking a sip of a beer at Experimentation all in under a minute, because it's literally right next door.
So you guys can actually help each other business-wise.
We do. People come in for my beer. If they're, you know, a huge craft beer fan, they're going to go next door. But our styles are distinctly different. I'm more of a traditional, you know, straightforward type of brewer. They like to use the unique and a little bit blackier ingredients. But they're really cool guys, and their beer is really good as well. So,
Pontiac's got a beer scene.
A little bit. And we've talked about some marketing stuff, mentioning both breweries.
Yeah.
We're going to have four breweries all within 10 minutes of each other. But the joke is that we're going to make a little flyer or something and say, you know, Grand Rapids, watch out. Here we come. You know, because we've got two now. So,
Beer City, USA.
Got yeah, I like
that's
Pontiac.
Right. That's right.
Veritably on the ropes.
So, Ray, what about Sherwood? How long have you guys been open? I know you're the, are you the head brewer or just the owner?
Yeah. Both.
Both.
We've been open for 12 years.
Okay.
In 2006, which was a great time to open.
Yeah, a little bit ahead of the curve.
Yeah, it was. We were about the 70th brewery, and I think even at probably 2010, 2011, they were just barely getting up to 100, and now it's, what, 300 change? So
yeah.
It's exploded in the last 5 years or so. Now we're kind of like the older, the middle generation, you know? Not quite the old guys, but not the young kids anymore.
Right.
So.
So the benefit of having a beer theme, you guys brought us some beers. So why don't you tell us about what you bought, what we're drinking. Ray, if you want to start us off.
Sure. I bought what we call Wayward Roggen Pils. It's kind of like a Pilsner. It's the clear one. That one. Yep.
It's this one, John. It's this one.
There are several beers in front of me.
It's the one that he's pointing to.
It's the Pilsner, kind of a malt character with the added rye to it to give it a little bit more body. And then we also add a little bit more hops to it. So
I can taste the hops there.
Yeah. We put the rye malt in there so you can kind of beef it up, give it a little bit more mouthfeel, and then we can add more hops to it and dry hop it as well.
I mean this totally as a compliment. I'm sure you hear this all the time. It's something that, like, my old man who, you know, give me something regular. Try this. You'll like this. It's good.
It is
More flavor to it, but it's still just like, it's, you know, everybody's going to like that.
Right. And, you know, it's kind of a crossover beer for us. It's a lager, so it's smoother. It's got that mellower mouthfeel to it. The bitterness is not quite totally IPA bitterness. It's more like a pale ale and bitterness or a Pilsner.
Sure.
And then it's got that smooth finish, so it's not like the lingering, you know, cottonmouth kind of a feel.
Finish, yeah.
And then you have the hop character and the aroma and the flavor of it, so versus it just being bitterness.
It's good. What's the name of it one more time?
Wayward Roggen Pils.
Wayward Roggen Pils. I like it. So far, so good.
We're one for one so far.
One for one.
Before we move over to Bo, any other specific beers you have going on you want to mention right now?
We were getting ready to release our Christmas ale, which we call White Elephant Ale,
which
is a strong, like a California strong ale. It's about 11% alcohol.
That is pretty strong.
And then we age it on oak and cinnamon.
Oh, wow.
Wow, okay.
Sounds
and
great.
And then the base beer, a couple of years ago, we decided to try just doing the base beer by itself without the oak and the cinnamon on it. And we call that Naked Elephant.
Okay.
And we're releasing those both on Friday.
Excellent.
All right. So, Bo, what have you brought for us?
Today I brought a Warcry IPA. We call it Warcry. Just a classic.
I like it.
West Coast style IPA, the way we made it, you know, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of our flagship beer. I don't really look at numbers too much, but I'm pretty confident that's our number one seller.
This keeps the lights on?
Yeah. It's we've got a painting in the brewery of Chief Pontiac.
Oh!
And we were trying to think of a name for this beer, and one of our friends suggested Warcry.
Love it.
Because of the way the painting is. So, perfect name, though, for it. So
great. And that's a real cool painting over in the brewery.
You've seen it? Yeah, right. You've seen it. Yeah.
That's very cool. Nice that there's a beer with that little story going on out there.
And what's the other one that you brought?
The other one is called Augustus Gloop, and it is
nice.
A double chocolate milk stout. So
that's rich.
Very chocolatey.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Tons of chocolate malt, tons of cocoa nibs, and then some more cocoa nibs. And even a little bit of vanilla in there just to help the cocoa nibs pop out.
I can taste it.
I'm a big fan of a lot of porters and a lot of dark beers. And then any of those vanilla porters I also tend to like as well. So,
well, not only this one, the chocolate stout, but I do have a vanilla porter on tap right now. I just put on tap a couple of weeks ago.
I want to come back to one thing you guys mentioned earlier. So you said there are now over 300 breweries in the state of Michigan?
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
That's got to be the exact number.
It's hard for them to keep track of.
Because they feel like there's
because of the rate that they open up at.
How do you, as a small business owner, how do you stand out above the crowd, aside from just making good quality beer, which these three beers are obviously phenomenal, but how do you, each of you, I guess, how do you stand out and market yourself and be successful in what's become such an incredibly competitive space?
I mean, point of differentiation is like a main theme of any business, but it's been there for the brewing industry on some level for a long time. Even, you know, if you look at Bud and Miller just going back and forth, you know, with their different ad campaigns, and even though ultimately they're almost identical beers.
Right. Yeah.
It's a little bit easier in the craft brewing industry because there's, you know, you can find different niches to kind of pick in Belgian beers or sour ales, or, you know, there's a lot of breweries now that are doing all these New England IPAs, and that's pretty much all they do anymore.
Seriously.
But, you know, you get guys like us that we're probably going to do more of the traditional beers and more balanced beers and things like that. We're going to hit like maybe a wider spectrum. And, you know, I think every brewery out there has its own unique characteristics. So right now, the way the market is, customers are looking to figure out what's different about the breweries, almost putting like the cart in front of the horse.
You've obviously been open for a long time, but what's the advantage of having the tap room and the restaurant? You know, do you see that as part of your strategy?
Oh, definitely. Fillmore 13, we're a microbrewery, so we're allowed to distribute our beer, but our system is small and our building isn't set up for distribution. So that's our bread and butter, is getting people to come in to the bar, sitting down, you know, family type place, you can sit. So it's not just a bar atmosphere.
We've come got see
a restaurant
us.
As well.
Yeah.
So we do very limited distribution. And for us, what that does is just it lets people see our label, lets people taste our beer without having to come to Pontiac. And then ultimately, if they say, hey, this is really good, let's go to Pontiac, you know, then they tell their friends and it's just word of mouth.
Yeah, we have the same license. Obviously, the tasting room, it's direct, you know, so you're cutting out any middleman or anything like that. But there is, because it's direct, you get instant feedback. You're getting to know your customers. It's a face-to-face transaction versus sending a beer off to a distributor or maybe taking it directly to a bar where you might not ever hear back from that keg again.
Do you guys ever get suggestions from customers or regulars for ideas for beers? Or do you, let me rephrase that. Do you get good suggestions? You know,
we get suggestions quite a bit, I think.
Yeah. You know what you ought to do is you ought to.
Sure. No, I mean, it's an interesting thing because, you know, you value that person that's coming into your bar and drinking your beer. You value the idea that they're invested enough to think about it.
Yeah.
Instead of just give me some random beer that I can drink. You know, you want them to care about it. But now that craft beer is getting to be coming up on 30 years old, some of these people have been drinking this stuff for a long time and they know what they're talking about. And with that knowledge comes their desire to share it. So
especially
I'm
after
always,
they've had a few samples.
Always willing to talk to someone about how I make beer or techniques that I use. But absolutely, if someone came in and said, I tried this lager with rye in it, I'd be like, wow, you know, that's not something you see every day. You know, might be something I want to give a shot, you know, a try at. And then one thing we did do is we had a contest with our mug club. Whoever won the contest got to come in and say, Bo, I want a beer like this. And then I designed a recipe and we brewed that beer. So, and it happened to be a Pilsner.
Mm-hmm.
Would I have made a Pilsner otherwise? Sure, but maybe not at that exact time. You know, but that was direct feedback from one of our customers that, you know, supports us and wanted to try a Pilsner out.
Ray, how do you feel about this?
Yeah, I feel like you were laughing a minute ago. I feel like you've got some good ones in your back pocket.
Well, I mean, it is kind of like the feedback game. Like, you're there, you're available for feedback. But, you know, I've had customers come like, hey, if you ever need help, you know, finding a recipe or making a recipe, you know.
I got something in my bathtub I made that I want you to try out.
I've got this building here where I've been doing this for how many years? The brewing industry is unique that we're very approachable, I think, compared to a lot of other things. You know, like there's a head chef at a fancy restaurant. Nobody would ever think about like, hey, let me show you my bruschetta recipe. You know? You probably, it's probably yours. I know a lot of people like yours, but it's not as good as mine. You know, like,
that's you know, good.
There's approachable nature to us that I think kind of lends itself to maybe customers oversharing.
At my place, the brewery's in plain sight, you know, so
that's true.
You can sit at the bar, drink a beer maybe that you would change, and you can look directly at me.
And tell you.
You know, but one of the nicest things, I think, because I've worked for much larger breweries with, you know, national and even some international distribution.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the idea that some guy in Texas is drinking a beer that you made, while satisfying and rewarding, you know, I would rather look at the bar and watch people, you know,
see people in your
right
own neighborhood
there.
Drinking them.
But they can also come up to me. And, of course, you know, that's why we did that. You know, we want to be approachable and we want to be a part of that community and entertain thoughts and ideas that they have. So,
well, that's awesome, you guys. Thanks for dropping by.
Cool. Thanks for
Thank
having
you very
us.
Much.
So everybody listening.
Ray Sherwood, Sherwood Brewing in Shelby Township, and Bo from Fillmore 13 in Pontiac. We'll talk to you guys in just a bit.
All right.
Thank you.
Fuck you.
It's the QuizzoCast.
We mentioned him earlier, former Quizzo host, current podcast host, Ken. Welcome.
What's going on, guys?
We have a lot of things we want to ask you about, but I'm going to flip the script here on Tom and ask you first, what beer did you bring us? Because I want to try this.
All going right, so, upside down on me.
This is from Perrin Brewing out Comstock, Michigan, over on the west side of the state, right by Grand Rapids. This is one of their yearly releases, probably one of their biggest releases that they do every year. So this is a Vietnamese porter. You could tell the difference of each beer every single year. The label on the bottle actually changes bowling ball colors. So based on what the bowling ball color is the year of that beer. So the silver one, gray one, charcoal one that we have now is 2018. So this is going to be a barrel-aged porter. I think it clocks in somewhere around 13%. It might be on the actual bottle itself. I'm kind of
15.
15. Okay, whoa. So a little higher.
That is potent.
So it's going to be
good.
Potent.
It's very good, though.
We let
flavorful.
It warm up a little bit. You're going to get a lot of cinnamon on it, though.
The smells outstanding.
You can get a lot of, yeah, it's not even up on my face. You can smell the cinnamon, you know?
Yep. So actually, I just took a sip, too. Very, very smooth, easy to drink. I'm not getting that bourbon kick that a lot of...
Definitely not.
Newer beer. I mean, not newer beers in the sense to where fresher bourbon barrel-aged beers, you're still going to get that bourbon kick right at the beginning. But this one right here, perfect. Love it.
Well, you know more about this, obviously, than we do.
You would think so.
You would think. But whenever I see like an imperial porter or an imperial anything, I almost just expect it's going to be a punch in the gut. And this is super smooth.
Yeah.
So what they do is, along with the barrel aging, because there is no base beer for this, to my knowledge. If anybody wants to complain about that, complain to Donnie at QuizzoUSA.com.
Or Zach. We also hate Zach.
Oh, okay.
I mean hate.
You mean hate in a loving kind of way.
So that was always my go-to if anything was messed up or anything when I used to host Trivia, was always complain to Donnie because I didn't care.
So when did you host Quizzo?
So I did a little research on myself.
Google yourself?
I was curious about when I started because I remember at that time like who I was dating, what was going on, that kind of thing because my girlfriend at the time thought I was cheating on her. When I got hired because she thought
just going out all these random nights.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is that I didn't have many nights available. So I only was going to I believe it was supposed to be Saturday nights and it was supposed to be at the Detroit pub in Mount Clemens.
Okay.
That's where I started out in Mount Clemens.
So we're talking 2010 is when I got hired in at Quizzo
and the
I hosted my final gig earlier this year.
Okay.
I was subbed for someone and I wound up kicking him off his own gig.
It's a tough moment, but it feels real good. Quizzo, we're following you around. You left us and moved into the world of podcasting. So here we are chasing you around. Why don't you tell us about your podcast a little bit? You're wearing the shirt.
I am.
We don't have QuizzoCast merch yet.
I was expecting cameras because there's cameras in the studio because I record in the studio too on camera live on Facebook Live every Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Facebook.com/BetterOnDraft.
That's a plug. That's a plug.
So the podcast is called Better on Draft. We actually are recording our 155th full episode this Friday. I don't know who our guest is this Friday. Black Friday is always hard just because a lot of people are either taking the time off or chasing beer trucks because it's Bourbon County release day.
Okay.
Therefore, it's hard to get people in. And nobody really wants to come in. They're usually, you know, tryptophan. Everyone's tired. Nobody wants to move anywhere. Or everyone's at the bars because people are home for drinks.
Bourbon County release day. What is that?
So Goose Island releases Bourbon County barrel-aged stout every single Black Friday to the public en masse. Therefore, people will start actually chasing trucks from store to store to get their allotment because every store won't sell you their full allotment. They'll only sell you maybe one bottle and one variant.
Okay.
So they'll follow the Rave or Imperial, Fabiano Brothers, whoever's distributing in that area. They'll follow that truck from each store.
Interesting. What are some of the other big beers that come out around this time of year that people highly anticipate?
So Griffin Claw actually just kind of did their same exact thing with their Flying Buffalo. I believe they did 8 variants that you can get in 4-pack cans.
They did. I live by Griffin Claw, so I went over and I checked that out.
So Griffin Claw does that. I believe Barrel Age Expedition Stout from Bell's was just launched. CBS was launched maybe last month.
That's your guy, right, Tom?
I like the CBS. Yeah, it's good. It's like, you know, I'm kind of, it's like, you know, for so long it was like that's the beer.
Well,
like,
they
you've
didn't
got
make it
to
for
have
like 5 years.
So. Right. It was gone for a long time. So last year, they did like a ticket program. I bought two bottles. I went over there, walked right in, got them. It was great.
Yeah.
Really good beer. I had one that night, and then I saved one, had one at the bonfire this summer. Good beer.
What did you think of the differences? Did you recall, like, hey, this is what it tasted in December? This
you know, really, I didn't, because it was, I've only had it years ago, and then just a, you know,
CBS is, what is that again? That's the
Canadian Breakfast Stout.
And that's from Founders. Okay.
I prefer the KBS, to be honest with you. But the CBS was, it was, you know, it was like the unicorn. It was hard to get. So it was kind of exciting to have those, you know, those two big bottles.
You know, a lot of people, especially if you listen to the Better on Draft podcast, you'll understand that I don't like IPAs. So I love malt bomb beers, not even necessarily barrel aged beers.
Sure.
So their Sumatra Brown is probably one of my favorite beers out there. And that's what I always make sure to get when I can, is that Sumatra Brown.
Anytime you see it, that's for me.
That's definitely my refrigerator beer, the one that always stays in the refrigerator, always packed, ready to go, just in case I come home and I'm like, man, I really need a beer.
So I'm sure you've been in depth with this on Better on Draft, but how, what do you think about Barrel Runner?
Barrel Runner.
From the Founders, it was the one aged, it came out this summer, it was aged in the rum barrels, and there was just arguments all over the internet about the taste of this beer. It was really unique. I thought it was good.
You get that all the time in regards to beers themselves, like Founders, especially when Lizard of Kaz came out, because it was a huge, almost like a syrup bomb when you had it. But again, when Blushing Monk came out, everyone liked Blushing Monk, sure, which was a little more, not necessarily as syrupy. People are going to like really two specific variants of beer more than anything else. If you go to your Beer Advocate, Rate Beer, Untapped, whatever, and you look at beers, IPAs as well as barrel-aged beers are probably two of the highest rated beers no matter what. You can make a perfect true-to-style brown ale, like Bonfire Brown over at Saugatuck.
Yeah.
And it's only going to get maybe a 4 out of 5. Whereas these beers that you see, you know, next time you go to a grocery store, look at where they have those high rated beers, you know, where it says Rate Beer, 98 out of 100. It's going to be dark, or it's going to be an IPA.
Yeah.
And it's most likely going to be barrel aged as opposed to just even necessarily dark. I think the only one that's probably a high rated beer that's not even dark or not even barrel aged is just the standard breakfast stout from Founders.
So you said, like me, you're not a big IPA guy.
Not at all.
And for whatever reason, you know, like my brother, for example, loves IPAs. Oh, I got a great IPA, great double IPA, great triple IPA. And I'm like, dude, I don't care. I said, the best meme that I saw on the internet lately was that IPAs are for guys, what pumpkin spice lattes are for girls. Does that get contentious at all for you and your co-hosts? I mean, I assume some of your co-hosts are all about the IPAs too.
What's great about our show, and especially that right now we only have four hosts, between me, Nick, Matt, and Rob, we pretty much like every single style out there,
okay,
including Matt, who has no problem pulling out a Miller Lite. And we have no problem drinking some of the cheaper beers. Like at one point, you know, you love KBS. We actually mixed KBS with Milwaukee's Best.
That seems sacrilegious.
It's the Kentucky Beast Stout.
Ah!
I knew it was going to have a name. Anytime you start mixing stuff together, it's going to have a real spicy name.
We did it with the salesperson locally from Founders, Kevin DeVries, and he was just, it just tasted like a watered down KBS. That's all it was.
Sure.
Well, because you mixed it with water, that's why.
Pretty much. Mm.
Are there any beers coming out in the next month or two that you're looking for?
Yeah, what do I got to be on the lookout for? What should I go get?
Oh, geez. You're putting me on the spot. I mean, we're
give me
we're
a December in, beer quest.
We're in barrel aged territory for the entire month of December. Obviously, Bourbon County, if you see it and you've never had it, that's definitely one you had to try. I actually had my very first one right down the road when the Dirty Trick was open.
Oh, Dirty Trick.
Yeah.
All right.
Continuously aging ourselves.
Now it's a really nice convenience store.
I just for the first time drove by it. I'm like, whoa, that's where the Dirty Trick was.
That's for years I've thought, you know, could use a convenience store right there.
They probably will do gangbusters come opening day.
They were open. They were like kind of partially open last opening day, and they were just selling pints out of crates. It was great.
Oh, I bet. In regards to beer that's coming out anytime soon, I would highly suggest wherever you are, just head out to your local brewery, because they're going to have either some type of seasonal, like a Belgian wit, or a not even necessarily a barrel-aged beer. Brew Detroit's going to have one. Baffin's probably going to have one. For me, like, fall is definitely my time because that's when all the browns come out. Mm-hmm. The seasonal browns, like Bell's Best Brown.
Yeah.
So I really can't tell you what to look out in December except for Bourbon County as well as that Griffin Claw Flying Buffalo.
Cool.
And you'll find them at the really strangest stores. Lafayette Foods down here over on Lafayette and...
very close.
St. Aubin.
Right. That's right near my apartment.
There you go.
Mine too. I actually picked up right on the shelf CBS sitting there as if it was nothing.
Well, Ken... I think we're going to move on to do a little trivia. How do you feel around?
Yeah, let's do that. But I have one other question for you first.
I have one other answer for you.
All right. So you are 150 episodes in or so, right?
155, not including our halves. So we're probably at about 165.
We are on episode 5 of the QuizzoCast. What advice do you have in terms of longevity and making this thing last?
Drink more beer.
Done.
It's the QuizzoCast.
So we've filled the room again. We've still got Ken with us. And we got Bo and Ray have stepped back into the room. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hello.
You guys ready to test your brains?
I think this is really unfair. You've got these guys who've been in the industry, who have lived the industry.
You've done 1,000 beer podcasts at this point.
It feels like it. Maybe 1,000 hours.
Oh, is this specific to beer?
I would assume so.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of feel like we're ringers and we're being used again.
Yeah.
Here's the little curveball that we throw you. So... it's become customary in the podcast, since we don't have the technology for an actual buzzer or ring-in thing, you're going to make your favorite animal noise as your buzzer, so we know who got the answer first. So we're going to put you on the spot, Ray, and what animal noise would you like to make?
Goldfish.
Glug, glug, glug. And I'd like to be the sloth.
Yeah.
And what noise does the sloth make?
Animal sounds. All right, so do you want the woof or the meow?
I'll take the woof.
Okay.
All right, so Ray is going to be the dog. Bo, does that mean you're going to be the cat?
I'll do a meow.
All right, and Ken?
I'll do the sexy snake.
So once we are finished reading the question, if you know the answer first, buzz in, and we will call on you. We're going to say whoever gets 3 correct first will be our winner tonight.
Oh, boy.
I don't know why you guys are looking at me. I should just turn the mic.
Tom, do you want to start with the first question?
I do. Let's go. The first category we will hit you with is cramp your style. Styles of beers. Okay?
Okay.
Question number 1. Dunkel is a German-style lager known for a rich flavor created using a base malt that has a slightly higher love bond than normal. What does the word dunkel translate to in English?
Meow.
Moo.
Ooh, the meow. The cat's in first.
Got the wrong noise.
Dark. Dark is correct. 1 point over for Bo. Nicely done. Over to John. Question 2.
All right. This is from our beer culture category. What 1983 movie, which shares its name with a Cream song, tells the story of Bob and Doug McKenzie, two slackers who got jobs at the fictional Elsinore Brewery, where something is amiss with the folks that work there.
Strange Ray. Brew.
Strange Brew is correct. 1 for Ray.
Kill what's inside of you.
Hey, Ray,
mm-hmm.
Can you pass me the bottle of beer?
Beers are still going.
It's open.
Bob and Doug McKenzie. Sound effects. Sorry.
I got it. I mean, I was totally on board with that.
Cheers.
Okay, we're going to go next category. I'm going to go with beer news. Okay.
I might be good at this one.
Beer news. Okay, what chain restaurant recently teamed up with New York brewery Keegan Ales to distribute a stout inspired by one of their popular fall breakfast items? So I'm looking for the restaurant. Sexy Snake.
Oh, restaurant. I was about to say Dunkin' Donuts.
It's not going to work.
Damn.
The chain restaurant.
Could you repeat the whole question?
Absolutely. So what chain restaurant recently teamed up with New York brewery Keegan Ales to distribute a stout inspired by one of their popular fall breakfast items? Sexy Snake is back with a second guess.
IHOP.
IHOP.
Do we give that to him?
I think we give it to him.
I mean, they weren't going to get it. Just making random guesses at this point. Yeah.
So everybody on the board with 1. This category is Hold My Beer. My is spelled M-I. There's your hint. Here is our next question. Named after a famous Detroit gang of booze runners, what Atwater Brew is made?
Sexy Snake.
Purple Gang Pilsner?
We're supposed to wait till the end of the question.
You never said that at the beginning.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I made hundreds of barrels of this beer.
Give it to Bo.
I knew this one. I was waiting.
Ken, you're going to cede that point to Bo?
Yes. I'll cede the point to Bo.
All right. Bo is ahead with two.
Come on now.
Ceding points over the sexy seeding snake.
It's beer. We're here to share.
Purple Gang Pilsner.
Okay, guys, here we go.
It's a good bissau.
We're going back to beer culture. Okay.
I better get this one right.
You'll never know if he's talking about Founders Breakfast Stout, but in what song by The Doors does Jim Morrison sing, "Well, I woke up this morning and got myself a beer"?
Woof.
Woof. Ray.
Roadhouse Blues.
Roadhouse Blues. Perfect.
Ray and Bo, two each. Ken with one. Ray or Bo can win with the following question.
Well, it seems high pressure now.
It's not.
What hop variety was developed at Oregon State University in the 60s, and according to the Brewers Association, is the most commonly used hop by craft brewers nationwide?
Meow?
That was Ray, all right.
It's got to be Cascade.
Cascade is correct. Ray, you are our winner tonight. Congratulations.
That's what 8 years of paying for trivia at your bar will get you. You can come on the podcast and get a win. That's what happens right there.
I had to check my email to get that one out of there.
As a gift for our winner tonight, we have beer.
That you guys all brought.
I was going to say, Ray, what did you bring?
I brought the Wayward Roggin Pills. Ooh. It's a rye
that's
lager.
That's that crisp drink you got. You,
yeah.
I gotcha.
All right, that'll wrap up episode number 5 of the QuizzoCast. We are back in 2 weeks to talk Quizzo Cup playoffs. We're going to be having our championship at Brew Detroit once again. We got the guys from Brew Detroit coming in next week to talk about that.
Happy Thanksgiving, pilgrims.
Cheers.
This has been the QuizzoCast. Listen to all of our episodes in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download podcasts. Find Quizzo on Facebook and Instagram at Quizzo Detroit, or follow us on Twitter at Quizzo. See you at the bar.